I'm going to ask you tonight to turn your Bibles to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You don't mind if I come down here and get up and close and personal to you, do you? Psalm 37. Have you ever watched people walk? Have you ever watched people and watch how they walk? Everyone has a different type of walk. Most boys will mimic their fathers, you know. I've been told before, I don't know that this is good and maybe not very appropriate to say, but I've been told I walk like John Wayne. I don't know if that's good or bad or whatever, but I've had several people tell me that. Said, you walk like John Wayne. I said, well, he must have been a fine fellow. But have you ever noticed how people will... did anyone ever... when my parents, when I was just a young boy, our Saturday nights, a lot of times, we'd drive to Whitfield, and my dad'd say, we're going to go up here and park. That's when Main Street was busy. You know, there was a lot going on downtown. And my dad'd say, I'd say, where are we going? He said, we're going to town and watch people. Anybody ever do that? Yeah. I said, I didn't think that was too much fun at that time, but the older I got, the more I like to watch people, you know, watch their mannerism, watch how they walk. But this thought came to my mind, and I'll be very short tonight, try to be very short, about watching people walk and how they step. And this thought came to my mind out of Psalm. In Psalm 37:23, the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man. Now, you say, well, this is kind of contradictory. No, it's not either. I know the Bible says that none of us are good. None of us. There's not a one of us. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But what makes a good man? Now, when I say good man, I'm not just singling out the men in here tonight, okay? That's every one of us. What makes a good man? Well, I thought about this. Man does not become good just because he does not use drugs or he uses alcohol. A man does not become good just because he may have money in the bank or he has a lot of degrees behind his name. That's not what makes a good man. Now, our society says that, but that's not what makes a good man, especially in the eyes of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I'm saved tonight. And I'm not saved on what I did. I'm saved on what Christ did on the cross of Calvary for me. And I put my faith and trust in Him and accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. But so it's not in anything that I could do. It's not in anything that you can do. It's all about what He did for us. So what makes me a good man or what makes you a good man? Well, it's not any of those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So what makes a good man? When a man gives his life to Christ, trusting Him for his salvation, he becomes a new man in Christ. And a new man in Christ is also a good man. That's what makes us good. You say, well, what's this got to do about steps? How many of you were here Sunday night in a choir? Okay. Did you notice anything that I was doing Sunday night? Most of the time you were trying to pay attention to what was going on, so you won't get in trouble if you say I did. Did you notice what I did? I think sometimes weird ideas in my mind, but it has helped me. I measured off from, say, right here, and we'll have this our mark. This is our mark, Brother John, right here is our mark. And I measured back to the back wall, and it's 55 feet. That's 55 feet. That's not going to change before we leave here tonight, by the way. Let me tell you something else. It probably won't change by this Sunday either. And to be very honest with you, it hasn't changed in several, several years since this remodeling was done. It stayed 55 feet. But I did do something else. I asked some people to come, and I wanted them to count off how many steps it took them to get from the mark, remember the mark, to the back wall. It was amazing. It really was. I asked several different people to do that. I'll share that with you just in a few minutes. You say, what's all this got to do with about the steps of a good man? Each one of us, the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, some people take more steps than others, and some people have taken more steps than others. But the primary thing here is, who's ordering those steps? You say, well, if I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, my steps are ordered. They sure are. God has ordered them. But are we fulfilling His order? Okay? Let me give you a few things here, and then we'll get into that. Steps are ordered. Have you ever ordered anything? Is anyone in here... Let me ask you a question. Have you ever ordered a new car? Anyone in here ever ordered a brand new car? Okay? Why did you order it? Okay? But you wanted it to meet certain criteria that you wanted. It may have been a white exterior. It may have been a blue interior. It may have been a blue exterior. But you ordered it the way that you wanted it to be. It had your mark on it. Okay? Anyone else in here ever order anything? Anyone ever order something offline or anything? Why do you go online and look at that before you order it? Because you want to be sure that it meets what you want it to be. If you order a pair of brown shoes, do you want to get black shoes? Now, sometimes that happens. If you order a blue suit, do you want to get a green suit? No. So why do you order those things? Because you want it to be what you want it to be. When you go to get your glasses, have you ever noticed how many different pair of glasses they have in that room? It's amazing. And I'm so glad that the people usually try to help you. They lie sometimes too. You look good in that pair of glasses. All right, I'll take them. You ever had that? Let me lay out a few pair of glasses here, and you put them on, and you put that one pair of glasses, and all they step back and say, boy, you look good in that. I'll take them. You don't care how much they cost. You could care less what they look like. Really, all you know is, I look good in those glasses. At least that's what they said. Now, they may be this big around, and they may, but somebody said, you look good in that. No one's ever done that, I'm sure. So we order things, okay? The definition of order, let me give you that. The definition of order is to govern, direct, rule, a command, or direction. You get that? To govern, direct, rule, a command, or direction. So, to be a good man, our steps are ordered by the Lord. But our steps are directed by the Lord also. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. His steps are guided by the Lord. Psalm 48, 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Remember the mark? Remember the mark. Remember that, the mark. And then next, his steps are led by the Lord. Psalms 25, 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. There are two choices in life. Having God to order our steps in his will, or ordering our own steps by our own will. Job 14, 16. For now thou numberest my steps. Job 31, 4. Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? Job 34, 21. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. Psalm 119, 133. David prayed, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Charles Spurgeon said this, when God orders anything other than what he orders is out of order. And then God delights to see His people, the redeemed of Jesus Christ, walking in ordered paths. Now that's just kind of a little bit of introduction. I made a mark the other evening, and from that mark, I measured all the way back there. And I mentioned, how far was it? Listen, how far was it? 55 feet. That's not changed. That's not changed. I guarantee if I go get that rule right now, and I go and I measure that, that has not changed one bit. But let me give you a few things that did really struck me, okay? I had Juliana. Where you at, Juliana? Right there? There you are. I had Juliana come up. It took her 29 steps to get from the mark to the back. I'll be honest with you, I thought it would probably take more than that. But it took her 29 steps. It took Garrett. I asked Garrett to come up. It took Garrett 23 steps. Now, Garrett's like his daddy. I'll be honest with you. If you remember how Tony would walk, it's like this, you know? But he walks just exactly like his daddy. That's how many steps it took him. It took him 23 steps. I asked Richard Warren. Richard was here. I was a little bit surprised. I thought maybe he'd get, but it took him 22 steps. But it took me 25 steps to get back there. You say, what's this got to do with anything? I'm telling you, you will not change, or I will not change the mark. I press toward the mark. You remember that? I press toward the mark. What is the mark? The mark is the finish line. One day, guess what, folks? We'll cross that mark. We'll cross that mark. Now, you're looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. But here's the thought process. If God doesn't order the steps, God's ordered them. He said He did. He's ordered the steps of a good man. He wants to direct our steps. He wants to guide our steps. But the problem so many times is that we will not allow God to do what He purposes to do in our lives. And you know what happens? We get into trouble. As long as God's leading, guiding, and directing, guess what? Those steps are good steps. They're ordered by the Lord. They will be the exact steps that God wants us to take. But when we get, and this past week, I'll use this, Elijah. What a man of God Elijah was. Was he not? Look what how God used Elijah. And even on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, God used Elijah and He was directing his steps. He was directing his way. He was guiding him. He was using him. And God did great things with Elijah. He came down off that mountain and guess what? I am so sure in my heart that he's, as the pastor says, he's made out of the same stuff we are. He was praising God and thanking God and rejoicing with God of what he saw accomplished and what he saw done in his life. And guess what? We do that too. We see God do great things in our life. There's not a one of us sitting here tonight that God has not done wonderful things for us. If he's never done anything else for us, he saved us. He sent Christ to die for us. But that doesn't stop there. God has a plan. I remember one, I can't remember the day, and don't tell her I can't remember the day. But I remember going by this school out here, this church, and seeing my dear wife sitting on the steps over here at this school. Now, did God direct that? I believe He did. Was I saved at the time? No, I was not. But she had gotten sick and couldn't go on her senior trip. And I had not seen Vicki since we were in the fifth grade. Matter of fact, in the third grade, if my teachers were here, they would tell you, in the third grade, I had Miss Armentrout, and then in the fourth grade, I had Miss Cruz. You know what Vicki and I would do? The class would ask Vicki and I to get up before the class, and we would sing together, and we'd go sing, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." I had no idea. I'm looking at her thinking, of course, when you're about 8 or 9 years old, you're not thinking about anything, you know, except playing ball and all that stuff. But God directed my path. I have no doubt whatsoever about that. Stuart, I have no doubt about that. God directed my path. The first thing she did, she invited me to church. We talked a little bit, and then she said, "Why don't you come to church? Do you go to church anywhere?" I said, "No, I don't." "So would you come to church with me?" And I'm thinking in my own mind, "Yeah, I sure will." But you know what? God started directing. When I think back on my own life and how God has been so good to me, we had a 55-gallon drum at the house. We had a cistern. You know what a cistern is? We had a cistern at the house. I probably got enough lead in my body. But anyway, we had a cistern at home. And Dad always raised, we always had a hog kill. Now you call them hogs, but we call them hogs. Okay? And Daddy had a 55-gallon drum, and he would divert the water off of the roof sometimes into that 55-gallon drum to feed the hogs. I remember one in particular day. I thought about that this past week. My brother was 9 years older than me, and you have to understand, my brother had a job. I was about 10 years old. He was 19 years old. My brother should not have been at home that day at all. I'm telling you, he should not have been at home. He worked for Ronnie Houseman when he was 19 years old. He should not have been at home. But you know what I did? I climbed up on that barrel. I remember climbing up on that barrel. And I remember getting about halfway up, and then I went over in that barrel. And I could not get out. And I'm telling you, I can still remember that I was afraid. But you know the next thing I remember? Somebody grabbed my feet and pulled me out of that barrel. And it was my dear brother. Now, he didn't say, "Randall, I love you, I appreciate you," and all that stuff. He wanted to know, "What in the world were you doing in the barrel?" But you see how God directs. You see how God spared. How many times in your own particular life can you remember, or you can think about how God has spared your life? Or God's done something for you. Or God's directed you around an obstacle. I think about the time that you went to Florida. Here, was it last year? Was it last year you went to Florida and you left early? Or you were going to leave early, but you decided and the terrible wreck that was on the mountain? God directs. The problem is, so many times we won't let Him direct. We get stiff-necked. You think about Elijah. Elijah came down off the top of that mountain. And I guarantee you, folks, Elijah was praising God. He was grateful. He had seen God do a wonderful thing. And it was a miraculous thing. And it was a wonderful thing. And it was something that he couldn't comprehend. And he came down off of that mountain, and I am sure that he was stepping high, and he was shouting the praises of God. And then what happened? Jezebel sent word to him. Said, "About this time tomorrow, I'm going to snuff you like that." Now, instead of Elijah saying, "You know what? I just came down off Mount Carmel, and I know what God can do, and I'll not run from you, and I'm not afraid of you. And I'm going to let God direct my path. And if you kill me, it'll be because God allowed it to happen in my life." But you got afraid. So what did he do? He went out and crawled up under a juniper tree. And he said, "Lord, why don't you just go ahead and kill me? She's going to try to kill me, but I don't..." How quick it is. You say, "Boy, I'm telling you." But I'm telling you, that's the difference. You won't change the distance. You won't change the distance. You won't change the mark. But we can change how many steps in this little distance that we walk for the Lord and let Him lead, guide, and direct us. It's a dangerous thing. What happened to Elijah? Well, we know what happened. The Lord didn't kill him. He went to sleep. When he woke up, guess what? That's a merciful and kind God, isn't it? There was some bread on the coals, and there was a cruse of water at his head. And he woke up. That should have been enough. Hey, who put that there? I don't know. God had to do that. So I tell you what, I'm going to turn around and I'm going back to where I came from. But he didn't do it. He just kept going. So he got in a cave. But the Lord, Elijah, what are you doing here? If you want to read that when you get home, you can look at it in 1 Kings chapter number 19. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, and for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. What was he telling God? You can't direct my path. You can't direct my life. You can't guide me. I have to do this on my own. But God asked him first, Elijah, what are you doing here? And you remember what happened? There came an earthquake. There was a strong wind. And then the wind, the Bible says, but God was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. How does the Lord lead us? By His precious, blessed Holy Spirit. And He speaks to us. And He guides us. And He speaks to us through this Word. Our steps are different. Are they not? You may not get a thing out of this, but I tell you what, it's blessed my heart. To know that the God of this universe, the God that sits on His throne in heaven, wants to guide my steps, wants to order my steps. He has ordered my steps. This is the way I want you to go, Randy. This is what I want you to do with your life. Let me tell you something. Nothing any better than when the Lord orders our steps and we purpose in our life that we're going to follow Him and let Him lead us and guide us and direct us and speak to us. And when He says stop, we'll stop. When He says go, we'll go. There's nothing any sweeter than that. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Are there bumps along the road? Absolutely. What will Satan try to do? As of this past weekend, Brother Bergen and then Brother White, what did they talk about? And how the Lord, sometimes things just shut down. There's no explanation for them. They just shut down and there seems like a roadblock up. But when we get to the roadblock, it's not for us to say, well, you know what? There's a roadblock here, and so I guess I'll go this way. Sometimes the Lord's saying, just wait on me. Just wait. Just wait. And sometimes the Lord makes us wait a little bit, and then the next thing you know, He's guiding us again, and He's directing us, and He's pointing us in a direction He wants us to go. And guess what? It'll be a wonderful thing one day when we get to heaven. And we've passed that mark. The Bible talks about, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. What is it? It's like a runner running. That's those steps. Paul, can you sit here tonight and say honestly that the Lord's directed your steps and directed your path? You can. But sometimes you've gotten out of that way, haven't you? Brother Stewart, I've gotten out of the way sometimes because I wanted to do it on my own. I thought I knew better. And that's when I get in trouble. You know our biggest problem? Is we become so spiritual. Is we become so spiritual that we know more than God. We become so religious that we know more than God. We become so full of knowledge that we think we know more than God. How many times have you ever sat in a preaching service and the preacher get up to preach, or whoever it might be, and you're sitting there thinking, he's not telling me anything that I don't know. That's when we become religious. That's when we become dangerous. I've used this several times. I think it's a good point. A little child will, you know what? They'll depend on you. And they'll love you. And they'll, how many times did you ever see your children get up in the morning and there might not be two nickels to rub together at the house? There might not be enough food to put on the table. But did you ever see your children get up and say, "Oh, no, I'm telling you what's the truth. I don't know what we're going to do." You know why? Because they depend on mom and dad to take care of them. And they're not worried about it. They're not fretting about it. Has your children ever got up in the middle of the night and, "Oh, mommy and daddy, I know that you don't have much money in the bank. You do like my kids used to tell me, just write a check. We don't have any money. Just write a check, daddy." Guess what? They're understanding what that means now. But they don't do that. Then why do we? Why do we, Brother Berger? Why do we sit around and wring our hands and you know, "Well, I just wonder how we're going to pay for that. And I just wonder how we're going to do this at the church. And I wonder how we're going to do this at the church. And I wonder how this is all going to work out." Where God leads, He provides. Where God directs, He provides. I don't know how we're going to pay for everything, but I know God knows. So what does that mean, Randall? What are you trying to say? We're all in this together. And each one of us are individuals, unique in our own way. And God wants to take each one of us and He wants to lead us and guide us and direct us and put us in the path that He has ordered for us. God ordered a path for me. I don't understand that. I can't comprehend that, but He ordered a path for me. He ordered a path for you. He ordered a path for you. He ordered a path for every one of you. If you're not saved tonight, you know what? He's ordered a path for you. You need to get to Christ and you need to get saved. Be the best decision you ever made in your life. Miss Mary, I remember Brother Junior telling me many times that he thought he was going to starve to death when he decided to quit one job and go to another job because of principle. I remember him sitting telling me that. He said, "Randall, I didn't know what we were going to do, but you know what? God directed. God led. God provided." Sometimes we do things and we get in trouble, don't we? And then even the Lord loves us enough to get us out of that. You know? I've done some pretty stupid things in my life. But it's amazing to me how the Lord still loves me and guides me and directs me. And that's what He wants to. He's ordered my path. Because He delights. It makes Him happy. As Brother Johnny says so many times, "Lord, just want to make you happy." You know how we can make the Lord happy? Just doing what He wants us to do. It doesn't matter, make any difference of how many steps it takes you to get to the back. What it does matter is who's directing those steps. Because you'll not change the mark. One of these days, the Lord's going to step out of the portals of glory. Christ is going to step out and He's going to say to His church, His bride, "Come up hither." And that'll be our mark. And if the Lord doesn't come back before that time, some of us may pass that mark by way of the grave. But I guarantee you, once we pass, 1 second after we leave this life, 1 millisecond after we pass that mark, I'm telling you, we're going to be shouting and praising the glory of God for His ordered path in our life. Won't it be wonderful? Where are you at tonight? Where are you at? That's my thought. Where are you at? Are you walking in the path that He has ordered for you? Are your steps ordered by Him? Yes, they are. But are you doing, and am I doing, what we need to be doing to allow Him to lead us, guide us, and direct us? Or could you be over here saying, "I just don't like the way that goes. I don't like the end results of that. You can't see the end results. But God can. Where are you at tonight? I know it's not much, but I tell you what, it sure did bless me to know and to get to thinking about how my steps are ordered by the Lord and how He wants to lead me, guide me, direct me, bless me. And if I'll just do what He wants me to do, He'll be happy with me. You want to make the Lord happy tonight? Do what He tells you to do. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. Let Him direct you. And you'll be happy, and He'll be happy. And we'll all be happy, won't we? Because we're walking the way the Lord wants us to walk. Don't let Satan sidetrack you. He will. He did Elijah. He caused fear to strike up into Elijah's heart. And I'm going to tell you something. Not only fear, not fear all the time. It can be bitterness. It can be strife. It could be any of those things. And those things in our life will cause us to get off the path that the Lord wants us on. And we'll get to thinking about ourselves and having a little pity party for ourselves. And we'll not be any fit for anything. Guess what? Elijah came out of that cave. He came out of that cave. Elijah, what are you doing here? But you know what it took for Elijah to get back where he needed to be? That still, small voice. It wasn't in the wind. Wasn't in the rain. Wasn't in any of those things. Still, small voice. Maybe the Lord's speaking to your heart tonight. I don't know. Whatever it is, just obey the Lord. I love you. Appreciate you.